This week on Vaticano, we begin at Castel Gandolfo, recalling Pope Leo XIV's first Angelus and his Mass dedicated to the care of creation. Next, we explore the Catholic Church in Taiwan and its unique role in a diverse cultural landscape. Then we'll examine the peace efforts undertaken by different organizations in response to global conflicts. Vaticano starts now. This was a day of celebration for the lakeside town of Castel Gandolfo. The last pope who met crowds of faithful here at the Sunday Angelus prayer was Benedict XVI in September of 2012, 13 years ago. Now Leo XIV is bringing back this tradition to the joy of the locals and numerous guests.
There are more and more people coming to offer him a warm embrace. He too is among the crowd and is always very approachable. Even today, he demonstrated this by arriving in the minicar, passing through the streets of the historic center until reaching the parish to celebrate Holy Mass.
Fino arrivando alla parrocchia per celebrare la Santissima Messa.
Nel nome del Padre e del Figlio.
The Mass took place at the Church of St. Thomas of Villanova in the main square. The extraterritorial pontifical church has a special relationship with the Pope's religious order. At Mass, Pope Leo reflected on the parable of the Good Samaritan, who the Holy Father explained is really a figure of Jesus, who regarded humanity with compassion and didn't walk by.
St. Augustine tells us that, as the Good Samaritan who came to our aid, Jesus wanted to be known as our neighbor.
Chiamarsi nostro prossimo.
After the solemn Mass, Pope Leo joined the pilgrims on the square, leaving many speechless with excitement.
It's amazing, you know, that's the Vicar of Christ, you know, and it's just amazing to me to be here. I don't know. It's a lot of words to describe it, you know. It's amazing.
During the Angelus prayer, Pope Leo thanked the people and authorities of Castel Gandolfo for the very warm welcome they gave the Pope after all these years. He reminded Christians that we gain eternal life by caring for others in service and love.
In Christ, God made himself a neighbor to each and every man and woman. That is why each of us can and should become a neighbor to all whom we meet. Imitating the example of Jesus, the Savior of the world, we too are called to bring consolation and hope, above all to those who are experiencing discouragement and disappointment.
Faithful from all corners of the earth gathered joyfully to see the Pope. Among them, groups of pilgrims, priests, families, and students.
It was such a delight to see Pope Leo. We are so grateful that he's taken up the mantle of Leo XIII, addressing fundamental social challenges. He's a wonderful pope. So our students are here. These are just some of them for the summer program. All of our students at the University of Dallas spend a semester on our campus just down the road from here.
Pope Leo will celebrate Mass in the Cathedral of San Pancrazio in Albano, formerly Cardinal Prevost's titular church, and lead the Angelus before returning to the Vatican. Pope Leo will return once more this year on August the 15th to celebrate Mass for the Feast of the Assumption, following the tradition of his predecessors. Pope Leo XIV presided over the first Mass dedicated to the care of creation at Castel Gandolfo in the newly established Borgo Laudato Si. This Eucharistic celebration marked a liturgical innovation with the introduction of a new set of prayers, soon to be included in the Roman Missal alongside the existing 50 Masses and prayers for various needs. The Pope emphasized that the celebration aimed to exalt the beauty of creation, and that there was no better place to do so than in the garden he described as a natural cathedral. In his homily, the pontiff recalled the urgency of the message at the heart of Laudato Si, urging renewed commitment to environmental responsibility and care for our common home.
At the beginning of the Mass, we prayed for conversion, for our own conversion. And I would like to add, we must also pray for the conversion of the many, both inside and outside the Church, who still do not recognize the urgency of caring for our common home.
The Holy Father offered a few unscripted words to thank the team responsible for the Laudato Si Center. Among them was Father Manuel Dorantes, the Mexican-American priest who serves as the administrative director.
I would also like to thank all of you, here and now, for everything you do to carry forward the beautiful inspiration of Pope Francis, who created this small corner, these gardens, these spaces, precisely to continue the vital mission that has become so clear in the 10 years since Laudato Si, the urgent need to care for creation, our common home.
Tutto quello che conosciamo già dopo 10 anni di Laudato Si.
This center is dedicated to formation in integral ecology, inspired by Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si. Its mission is to offer a tangible experience of the encyclical's principles, bringing them to life through projects focused on circular economy, environmental sustainability, and vocational training. Stay tuned as we explore the presence and mission of the Catholic Church in Taiwan. Taiwan's new ambassador to the Holy See, Anthony Ho, presented his diplomatic credentials to Pope Leo XIV on July the 3rd in the Apostolic Palace. Ho, a Catholic, succeeds Matthew Lee, who retired in May, ushering in a new period of bilateral relations between the Republic of China and the Holy See. Taiwan maintains full diplomatic relations with 11 member states of the United Nations and the Holy See. In Taiwan, the Catholic presence has been nurtured since 1616 with the arrival of Spanish Dominicans, but significantly expanded in the last century, deeply influenced by the influx of Chinese Catholics fleeing the mainland after the Maoist Revolution in 1949. While small, with an estimated Catholic population of 300,000 Catholics, or roughly 1.3% of the total population, the Church plays a large role in the flourishing of Taiwanese society, alongside indigenous folk religions, Buddhism, and Confucianism.
Taiwan's beginning, the most obvious, was probably about 160 years ago, when the Dominicans came to Taiwan again. Before that, there were a few, but the number of people who stayed wasn't very large. It's more obvious that over the past 100 years, from Kaohsiung to other places, the Dominicans started to build small churches, local churches, and then there were other churches that also joined these kind of missionary work. In the Catholic Church, in fact, from China, from mainland China, from the beginning of the Catholic Church until now, we have tried our best to integrate the local culture. In the local culture, we can see the work of the ancestors and what the ancestors are willing to give us in the local culture. But in this process, we are all kind-hearted. Kindness is our most important goal. Based on kindness and love, we can have a dialogue.
Taiwan's indigenous populations have embraced Catholicism through dedicated missionary efforts, notably by figures such as Father Yves Moal. Originally from France, Father Moal arrived in Taiwan in 1966 and dedicated his life to serving the indigenous people, promoting their cultural identity while spreading Catholic teachings.
L'occasion de pouvoir vivre.
I had the opportunity to live those years of the Renaissance with young people in Hualien, with a Christian community, and the breath of a renewal of Vatican II was very strong at that time. And so it was a great support to be able to enter this missionary movement for which I had come to Taiwan. I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit works hard today in Taiwan and in all countries, and that those who currently lead the church, and we are the servants of the church. We really try to see, even try to say what we think when we are asked. Could we not change a certain way of living, in the sense of the clergy, the Christians, a more fuller life, more fraternal, so that people are really aware that when we say fraternal, it influences the whole environment? I think that we have to try to give entirely to the people we live with, to give a testimony of self-giving, a testimony of love, which goes as far as the dead, as these missionaries who are buried all around here. I think that we have to orient ourselves more towards a concrete world where we can live with everyone as if we were sending a brother.
Chacun comme si on voyait un frère.
Despite its impactful role, the Catholic Church in Taiwan faces challenges. Fewer priests are ordained each year, and church attendance is gradually declining. An aging population, alongside migration of younger people from rural areas to urban centers, compounds these struggles.
Our challenges now is that the baptism is fewer, getting fewer, and sometimes because there are those non-Taiwanese from Vietnam who immigrated here, or some have their works here, their families, so we had some baptisms and even weddings. And our one challenge we have is the Catholics are getting lesser, getting older, and those young people that are Catholics, newly baptized, they go to Taipei for work. So, because this place is already a bit far from opportunities to find more work.
Currently, in the Aboriginal world, here in the villages, we are facing an aging of the population because the young couples have left the villages to work in factories, in big cities, in urban centers. So it is still a big problem that we see everywhere in the world a lot of elderly people. That is why we have founded groups of elderly people who can meet every day to live together with their families.
In Taiwan's spiritually diverse landscape, Catholicism maintains a respectful and collaborative relationship with Buddhism. The Catholic Church regularly engages in interfaith dialogue with Fo Guangshan Monastery, the largest Buddhist monastery in Taiwan, which has enhanced mutual understanding and contributed to social harmony.
I seem to have grown up in the presence of Catholicism, not in the form of church, but in the form of school, in the form of everyday life care. And so Venerable Master once said that what we do as a Buddhist organization for the world should be a way to repay the contribution and the kindness that Catholicism has ever shown to Taiwan. Why 60 years ago, you didn't see a lot of churches, but you would see schools, you would see universities, you would see hospitals, and a lot of charitable organizations organized by Catholics. And so they were already there in Taiwan. Yep, they were taking care of our children.
An issue not relating just to the population, but to the precarious geopolitical position of Taiwan, is the constant threat from the PRC. Since establishing formal diplomatic ties in 1942, the relationship between the Holy See and Taiwan has significantly boosted Taiwan's international visibility, reflecting the unique diplomatic dimension of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church in Taiwan doesn't just function as a religious body. It serves as a crucial diplomatic link, bridging Taiwan and the Vatican, one of Taiwan's few official diplomatic allies.
The Holy See adhere to its principle of religious freedom, respect for basic human rights. So because of this, and on the contrary, what happened in mainland China is that there's no religious freedom.
But over the course of the last 70 years, the church has had to localize, and there was always this issue between the juridical structure of the church and the office of the bishop, presenting challenges towards the relationship between the Holy See and China.
So the church totally controlled by the state, in other words. So because to the nomination of bishop is the prerogative of Pope himself, and there are some big change since 2018 in September. Both sides concluded an agreement concerning the nomination of bishops. Officially speaking, mainland China admit that the Pope is the only person who can nominate the bishops. Of course, Holy See made some concession, so in order to actually reach the agreement, but the agreement has not been disclosed to the public, so we don't know too much about the contents. But having served for many years in Vatican, I start to understand Holy See mission is to evangelize in every part of the world. So Holy See mission is to create a environment which is favorable to evangelization work. So Holy See got to take care of those people who have no direct connection with the Holy See.
As Taiwan evolves, the Catholic Church continues to serve as a vital spiritual, diplomatic, and charitable presence, uniquely poised to address the island's complex social and cultural needs. Taiwan's Catholic journey reflects resilience, service, and an enduring commitment to unity, standing as a testament to faith's power in shaping society. Up next, a look at how various groups are addressing conflicts worldwide through peace initiatives. From July the 10th to the 11th, Rome hosted the 4th annual Ukraine Recovery Conference, bringing together more than 100 delegations and over 2,000 representatives from governments, civil society, and business. Prior to the conference on July the 9th, Pope Leo XIV welcomed Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to Castel Gandolfo for a private audience. According to the Vatican Press Office, the two discussed the ongoing conflict and the urgent need for a just and lasting peace. And Pope Leo reiterated his willingness to host both Ukrainian and Russian representatives for peace negotiations at the Vatican. The Vatican long has supported peace-building efforts and initiatives. Among them is the Clementi Schumann Legacy Foundation, a private initiative based in the Vatican. Founded by Pierre Louvrier, the foundation brings together senior leaders in politics, business, and science to develop concrete tools for peace. Rooted in the vision of Venerable Robert Schuman, one of the founding fathers of the European Union.
So what we've been discussing already for a bit more than 2 years here in Vatican is how to give a new purpose so people can unite again, and from this unity around a purpose, create the conditions for peace. And the core of the proposal is something that has been already proven for the last 75 years in Europe, where gathering people around common markets, gathering people around a defense alliance, so people protect each other, and it's been inspired obviously by Robert Schuman and invented by Monet, all of that at that time with full cooperation of not only Europe, but also United States and Great Britain. And so we're working here at ideas, actionable ideas, practical ideas that have proven to unleash And prosperity and peace for 500 million persons. And we believe that can work for even more persons.
Although the foundation is a private initiative, Louvrier expressed gratitude for the Vatican's support in providing a safe space for dialogue, especially for individuals from regions where even mentioning peace was once considered an act of betrayal.
We're extremely grateful for the Vatican to have provided a roof for these discussions. So people who come here find a refuge where they can talk, where they can talk about peace. There are many countries where only talking about peace is considered as a betrayal, in fact, more or less all the countries. And therefore, the Vatican offers here what the Church has always offered, a refuge for people who can and want to talk about peace, about practical solutions.
While not directly involved in formal diplomacy, the Foundation's gatherings are designed to foster a new common purpose and build actionable frameworks for peace and prosperity. And in the hills of Tuscany, the Rondine community brings together young people from opposing sides of conflict, Ukrainians and Russians, Israelis and Palestinians. Here, they're not enemies, but classmates, roommates, and friends.
Peace for me is living in a country and not thinking that there's another side or there's an enemy, but there's no enemy. You just live, they are neighbors.
Come and meet people, come and meet enemies. And in that I'm finding peace.
Rondine is home to an association founded by psychologist Franco Vaccari, whose father's experience as an army general and prisoner of war helped inspire his commitment to peace. And today, the town is an oasis for whoever is looking for a way to build peace.
We are very attached to St. Francis of Assisi at Laverna, because it was there that he received the stigmata, because we have always seen them as the wounds of humanity, transfigured by love. And this is incredibly meaningful, because we go to Laverna with Muslims, with Jews, with non-believers, and all of them find in this man a source of life and peace.
Inspired by Pope Francis, who just weeks before his passing wrote from his hospital bed that we must disarm words to disarm minds and disarm the earth. The Rondine Association also looks to Pope Leo's message for peace and inspiration.
Pope Leo told us, enemies must look each other in the eye. And here at Rondine, we know very well that he spoke a powerful truth. Either enemies look each other in the eye, or peace will never come.
We spoke with some of the students from around the world who now live in this oasis, not to escape the war, but to talk about their lived experiences and learn from one another how to heal and prevent war and hate. Bind is from Kosovo, and his family's experience of the war once shaped how he saw those he called his enemies. Now he's learning from them.
I grew up on the way of thinking that we had this narrative about the war, because as you probably know, we our war stopped because NATO intervened. So for us, they are like big friends, allies, we love them. But when I came here, I hung out with people from Lebanon and from Middle East and from other countries, but they had different kind of perspective about all these things.
Valeria, from Ukraine, shares how coming to Rondine wasn't easy at first, and the idea of coexisting in a room not only with a stranger, but a Russian, who was of the nationality warring with her home country, was difficult.
Rondine, it's not about sitting on the table and negotiate. Rondine, it's about daily life. So I'm waking up, and the first person I'm seeing for 2 years during the experience, my enemy that like sleeping on the bed in front of me. And then we are like waking up together, having coffee, having breakfast, taking care. That makes you feel like, wow, I'm important. Although she's my enemy, but I'm important for her as well. She's important to me back.
In this little oasis, the students have a chance to experience life outside of the war and conflict that has plagued their lives. Now they also have a chance to return home and instill hope in their own communities, that on the other side of the conflict, there are other people trying to survive and thrive.